You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Does your conscience bother you? Jesus is waiting to help you.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Wallace Schultz, Associate Lutheran Hour Speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
Jesus Christ, thou Lamb of God, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us and for our many sins of selfishness, hate, gossip, and greed. As we approach thee, we realize the penalty we deserve for our transgressions. By thy Holy Spirit, empower us to understand by faith that our pardon was earned through thy innocent Good Friday death and victorious Easter resurrection. That thy suffering and death may not have been in vain, O Lord, move us to sorrowful repentance and spirit-empowered faith. In thy precious name we pray. Amen. I'm 33 years old, and you know what I've got to show for it? Three children from three different guys. Which three? I'm not sure. I've gone the dope route, been busted twice, and taken the cure. This confession, found in a section titled Modern Living of a well-known magazine, came from the lips of a waitress, harassed and confused by having involved herself in some of today's permissive lifestyles. Bewildered and confused, this young lady, along with millions of others searching for help, considered turning to the ever-expanding supermarket of psychotherapies now offered by psychiatrists and psychologists. A decade ago, people were embarrassed and ashamed to tell even their closest friends that they were seeing a psychiatrist. Today, however, things have changed. In some areas of society, it is now fashionable to have one's own psychiatrist. But the situation is not as rosy as it may seem. In a major article reflecting the current status and effectiveness of the psychiatric profession, a well-known news magazine revealed that results of psychiatry are sometimes questionable. Many patients report emerging from months of treatment no better and sometimes even worse than before. Indeed, the practice of psychiatry is neither evil nor useless in itself. If your doctor suggests that you see one, it would be advisable to give his word serious consideration. However, most man-devised therapies are ineffective in dealing with the deep spiritual elements of sin and guilt, which have always been at the root of many of society's problems. This is not a put-down of the profession of psychiatry, nor should it be a surprise. Many psychiatrists, even those who do not claim to believe in the basic doctrines of the Bible, openly admit that unresolved guilt is definitely at the base of much of the confusion and anxiety people are presently experiencing. Oh, how sad it is to witness the vanity and the useless efforts of individuals striving to perform a spiritual cure with a man-conceived therapy. In his book, The Psychological Society, Martin Gross argues that psychiatry and psychology have taken on the role once played by religion. And so, rather than jumping on the new trendy bandwagon of therapies and possibly even making one situation worse by hopelessly attempting to black out past guilt or to shift responsibility through various therapies, let us with open ears and a receptive heart listen to one of the great men of the Bible, King David, who confessed his experience with sin and guilt. When I kept silent about my sin, David said, my body wasted away through my groanings all day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was drained away as with the fever heat of summer. Oh, how can the cost of guilty consciences ever be counted? Bewildered families, riddled with open sores and tender scars of past arguments and disagreements, eat meals together, but converse as little as possible. Factory workers and office personnel spend hours each day avoiding the direct contact of those with whom they had a previous falling out. Young people struggle with the frustration of their lack of desire to obey their parents and teachers. These and multiple tons of other burdening feelings of guilt reach the breaking point as the voice of God proclaims, if someone says, I love God but hates his brother, he is a liar. Surely the countless victims of today's paralyzing guilt can identify. Perhaps even you can identify with the psalmist who said, my vitality, my life was drained away as with the fever heat of summer. But he went on to confess, I acknowledged my sins to thee, and my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and thou didst forgive the guilt of my sin. King David was forgiven, relieved, renewed, and restored. And just as the gracious Lord did this for the repentant psalmist, he is waiting with loving compassion to forgive and strengthen you. Trust completely in God's gracious promise recorded in the book of Proverbs. He who conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion. David had experienced the torture and guilt as a result of his scandalous involvement with Bathsheba, another man's wife. He tried to cover it up, but Nathan the prophet uttered the ego-shattering and indicting words, David, thou art the man. At first, David intended to do nothing about his sin. He hoped to ride it out and let it blow over. But he could not shake his tortured conscience. He realized that his sufferings, which continued without intermission both day and night, were part of God's punishment of his sin. Finally, his conscience was awakened, and he confessed his sin fully and freely. He said, and my iniquity have I not hid. David bared his agonized soul before a holy and merciful God. As a result, David could say with joy, and thou didst forgive the guilt of my sin. Oh, may this example in the life of the greatest king of the Old Testament always provide you and me with a ray of hope when the devil descends upon us with his darkness and paralyzing guilt. Even though our love for God and others may change from day to day, God remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. What a consolation this is in a world where often there appears to be no one or nothing to trust in. A changeless and loving God is promising you today, he who confesses and forsakes his sins will find compassion. At this point in your life, you may be so bewildered, confused, and even tired that you have no idea what is causing many of your problems. You may even have considered ending it all through suicide. But don't despair and don't waste your time digging into your past. Life cannot be relived. What is done is done. As with the Lord's strength you seek His help, first admit to Him with an open heart that you are sincerely sorry for anything you may have done to disobey Him. Confess also any injury and lovelessness that you have shown toward your family or friends. Then trust completely in the Lord's promise that he who confesses and forsakes his sins will find compassion. As you trust in divine pardon and forgiveness, never let the devil tempt you to doubt as to whether all your sins, your failures, your mistakes of the past, your rude words, and your failures to show love have been forgiven. Your complete and total forgiveness was accomplished on Good Friday afternoon nearly 2,000 years ago. On that day, from noon until 3 p.m., darkness covered the entire earth. The sun was blotted out, and the veil in the Temple of Jerusalem, which prevented anyone from entering the Holy of Holies, the presence of God, was torn in two. The barrier between God and man was opened. Access to God through Jesus' sacrificial death and triumphant resurrection was accomplished for you, for me, and for all people. At the same time, Jesus, the suffering servant, cried out from his torturing position on the humiliating cross with a loud voice and said, "Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, Jesus died. On that long three-day weekend, which changed history, the supreme sacrificial act of Jesus, as he willingly gave up his life and then rose from the dead, was accepted by God the Father as a worthy sacrifice for the sins of the world. How can this sacrificial act ever be compared? Oh, think of times past when you did favors for others. Some of your loving deeds of kindness may have been inconvenient, time-consuming, and even costly. But have you ever given your life for anyone else? Have you ever considered going to a prison and asking the officials to put you to death for the misdeeds and crimes of inmates? This may sound ridiculous, but it is precisely what Jesus did. Have you ever hated anyone, members of your family, relatives, or even your marriage partner? The Bible warns that whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. But this is not the only sin which has the power to condemn us to hell eternally. Gossip, telling white lies, being irresponsible parents, being disobedient children, cheating only 1 cent on our income tax, and even having self-centered ambitions in the church provokes God's holy wrath and anger. No matter how good you and I may consider ourselves to be, in the eyes of God, we are sinners. But instead of condemning us, God has forgiven us. His grace and mercy is beautifully described in the Bible. Listen closely to His words of hope as I read them. But God demonstrated His love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him. For if, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, Jesus, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. The Bible goes on to proclaim, and not only this, but we also exult in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Yes, you and I, through our rebellion toward God, had erected a barrier between us and our Lord. But the death of Jesus Christ has removed that barrier. Sin has no more power over us. death has no more power over us. The devil and his angels have no more power over us. They may tempt us, and we may even stumble, but they have no control. They are not in the driver's seat of the Christian life. Even though Christians are not perfect, and sometimes even fail miserably, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It is because of Jesus' triumphant resurrection that we can say with St. Paul, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Thanks be to God who gives us our victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. In a moment of solemn reflection, the psalmist said, O Lord, remember not the sins of my youth. In the same way, for your complete and divine pardon, trust not in the man-devised therapies to soothe your guilty conscience and still your troubled mind. Certain therapies may be beneficial, but only the blood of Jesus Christ has the divine power to wash away our guilty stains of sin. Only the blood of Jesus Christ has purchased forgiveness from a holy and forgiving God. The Holy Scriptures proclaim in Hebrews chapter 9, without the shedding of the blood, there is no forgiveness. No, man-devised therapies cannot do it, but the divine blood of Jesus Christ can and has. As you seek help for your anxieties and problems, use caution before you entrust your life and your eternal future to anyone. If possible, establish contact with a sympathetic Christian friend as soon as possible, one who is willing to listen to your concerns. Seek the help of a clergyman who accepts without reservation the teachings and the beautiful promises of the Bible. Seek out a clergyman who is willing to offer counsel, forgiveness, healing, and strength from God's holy word. Before you try other avenues, be forewarned. Since so many people are now searching for answers in life, a huge supermarket of psychotherapies has been built overnight. According to a recent issue of the New York Times Magazine, a complete psychotherapy handbook is now available. It is an A to Z guide containing the listings of more than 250 therapies in use today. Breathing therapy, computer therapy, feminist therapy, living therapy, past lives therapy, radical therapy, reality therapy, and even soap opera therapy, where patients approach their own problems through television sagas. After hearing this message, you may be saying, why didn't I know this before? You may feel like the woman described in the Bible who was suffering from internal bleeding. She had endured much at the hands of many physicians and had spent all she had and was not helped at all, but rather had grown worse. In desperation, she reached out to touch Jesus and was healed. By the power God the Holy Spirit is giving you today, even if you have already endured much from many therapists and have spent all you have and still see no improvement, reach out with your God-given faith to touch Jesus. He will heal you. Perfect direction for your life may not take place immediately. It will take time, perhaps days, weeks, months, and even years. A perfect life is never attainable. That is reserved for us in heaven. But forgiveness, peace of mind, and power for victorious daily living can be yours today. Trust completely in God's promise. He who conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion. Amen.